Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Eastern family. It's that time of the week. Thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. Thank you for joining us for episode 18 from the Eastern Files. This program is dedicated to the memories and stories of former Eastern people and news from the new Eastern as it comes to us. The broadcast will usually last about a half hour, and it's broadcast in this time slot of 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We may even throw in a music selection or two, but it's always enjoyable to listen to the Eastern music that is playing now in the background. The program is not on a talk radio format, and we don't take calls, that is. It's reserved only for Eastern stories and history and news as it becomes available to us. We still broadcast our normal talk radio call-in live show on Mondays at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We hope you like the new addition to the radio show Thursdays at 3 p.m. And we hope you continue listening and hear the stories, the old stories of the former Eastern Airlines, all the way back to the mail wing days. So let's listen to a famous Eastern Airlines commercial at this time.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referees a children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico. And covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun. Because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Fly Eastern, number one to the sun.
You know, back in the late 20s and the early 30s, aviation made news just about every day. People were fascinated by airplanes, and now you could fly in those airplanes, not just those brave mail wing plane pilots, but now passengers were now flying. So many of the early airlines were taking passengers in aircraft like the Condors, the Curtis Condors, and the Kingbirds, and the tri-motored Fords. And those are even the Lockheed aircraft that Amelia Earhart was carrying passengers. So anytime a passenger got on an airplane, it was news. And I'm sure around the dinner table. Lots of talk, discussions were made about how is it to fly in an airplane? What does it look like down below and that type of thing? So I've decided to take a few stories out of the news wing, the newsletter that was published from the Pitcairn days back in the 20s. I think it started in 1927, the Pitcairn Mail newsletter that was published, and it was titled The News Wing. And when Eastern Air Transport took over and renamed the airline from Pitcairn to Eastern Air Transport, they still carried the name News Wing. So I'm reading now some stories that people were talking about and who was flying in these airplanes and that type of story that made headlines and put in the news wing. And we're reading from 1931. So the first story was America's Great Airway. America's greatest aerial highway, the one destined to be the busiest commercial artery of our skies, it seems, is to be that route between New York and Atlanta, operated by Eastern Air Transport, Incorporated. The reason for this prediction is that it is part of the Southern Transcontinental and part of the route from New York and the east to Florida, Cuba, and Latin America. Over this route will flow mail, express, and passengers from the West Coast and neighboring nations to the South. The route from Atlanta to Washington is a scenic and a historic one. How well it is traveled may be understood by the fact that it is traversed by the South's only all-double-track trunk line railroad to the east. Planes of the Eastern Air Transport look down on Stone Mountain near Atlanta. They sail over Kings Mountain, up which American patriots fought their way in the Revolution, along the famous Piedmont section of the two Carolinas, over historic cities and battlefields. The sun reflects the shadows of the huge plains on the waters of the Potomac between Richmond and Washington. The beauty of the national capital is appreciated from these planes, which fly over the Washington Monument and pass on to skirt the Chesapeake Bay, to fly over Baltimore, Philadelphia, Jersey, and Manhattan. The southbound passengers will go from Atlanta to semi-tropical Florida, the beauty of which has been extolled in descriptions rivaled only by those of California. He may go on across the Pearl of the Antilles, the West Indies, the Equator, the Pampas, until he comes to the most beautiful harbor in the world, Rio. To far west, or he may go from Atlanta over to Birmingham, the Alabama coal fields and steel mills, Mississippi's plantations, Louisiana and Texas oil fields, the plains and prairies, the Rio Grande, with a look over into Mexico, El Paso, the foothills of the Rockies, Arizona, the Badlands, painted deserts, and then into California, and the orange groves, the snow-capped mountains, the verdant valleys, Los Angeles, and the blue Pacific. What a description of what it was to fly in those days. I wonder if we think that way now when we fly in modern transport. Perhaps we're too busy looking at a movie or having a wonderful dinner at 41,000 feet. But back in the day, folks were describing America as I read from that article. Now, here is a news story that was printed in the New York Times and reprinted in the Eastern Air Transport news wing. Not much bigger than the suitcase which went with him, Paul Vecker, 11 years old, and small for his age, boarded the Eastern Air Transport plane at Newark Airport this morning at 9 o'clock to take the 1,600-mile air trip to Havana, Cuba. alone. The boy is the son of W. Paul Vecker, general manager of the Compañía Cubana de Electricidad, not pronouncing the Spanish words correctly, and is an honor student at Rumsey Hall School, Cornwall, Connecticut. In order to spend the Easter vacation with his parents in Cuba, he is making the journey by air transport, the youngest passenger to date to make such a trip by himself. Another little short one is Emmons W. Whitcomb of the well-known Raymond and Whitcomb Company Travel Bureau recently flew from Los Angeles to New York over the Southern Transcontinental Airway and Eastern Air Transport System. He was enthusiastic over the speed and convenience of modern airlines. This one is titled, Who Flies and Why? Mr. Marcus Rothschild, internationally known surgeon, the fellow of the New York Academy of Medicine, a graduate of the University of Freiburg in Germany, flew over Eastern Air Transport System from Newark to Atlanta in answer to an emergency call of mercy to perform an operation in an effort to save a life. Charles K. Topping, mining engineer, flew from Calama, Chile to Los Angeles. He was returning home. He took Pan American plane to Chile, flew to Miami, took Eastern Air Transport plane to Atlanta, and Southern Transcontinental plane to Los Angeles. The length of his trip was 8,000 miles. He landed in Los Angeles 8 days after leaving Chile. Then Mayor James Abbott, an 86-year-old Civil War veteran, now the Senate doorkeeper, flew from Washington to Boston on a surprise visit to his family at Providence, Rhode Island. He flew in an Eastern Air Transport plane from Washington to Newark. He transferred over to Colonial Airways, a plane, and then went into Boston. L.M. Barnum, former mayor of Cooperstown, New York, and Mrs. Barnum, each 70 years old, flew from New York to Washington, then back to Philadelphia on a golden wedding trip. W.D. Ferris, a steamship official, was stricken ill while driving his auto in Jacksonville, and at his own request, was rushed from Jacksonville to Atlanta in a regular EAT passenger plane for an operation in the Crawford W. Long Memorial Hospital. This was his first flight. Evelyn Hughes, 4 years old, flew alone from Atlanta to Macon after visiting Knott in Atlanta. W.L. Pa Stribling, he's known as Pa, father of young Stribling, a heavyweight boxer, flew from Miami to his home in Atlanta. We are at the opening verse of the opening page of the chapter of Endless Possibilities, said Rudyard Kipling in writing of aircraft operations. The operation of an extensive air transport system demands about equal parts of engineering, standardized industrial efficiency, hard work, and good American horse sense, said H.A. Elliott, vice president and general manager of the Eastern Air Transport System. 20 years ago, the garage was an exception. Now real estate men find it difficult to sell houses in certain sections unless the house has a two-car garage. Eventually, we may demand proximity to an airport before we will purchase a home, said Harry Walker Hepner in his book, Psychology in Modern Business. Another one says, this is a trip I wouldn't miss for the world, said L.M. Barnum, 70 years old, as he was about to board an Eastern Air Transport plane for a golden wedding anniversary from New York to Washington. Nor would I, said Mrs. Barnum, also 70 years old. I don't see why they want my picture for just because I'm flying to Cuba, said Paul Vecker, the 11-year-old of newspaper cameraman. He was making the 1,600-mile trip alone. an older generation that made nothing of lifting itself by its bootstraps will find the problem more gracefully solved by a pair of wings, said Raymond Willoughby of Nation's Business. Henry Ford is in the aircraft industry. Nobody could find a basis for believing that Henry Ford would waste his time and millions on anything that isn't practical and certain to succeed in the superlative degree, said Frank A. Tickner of the Aero Digest. It is stated that 150,000 persons visit New York every day for business or pleasure and spend approximately $5 million daily while they are in New York. Of this account, it was said 1,350,000 is spent in retail stores, 750,000 in theaters and other places of amusement, 1 million in restaurants, 850,000 in hotels, and 500,000 for taxi cab, buses, subways, and streetcar transportation. Now, here's an interesting one in this April 1931 Newswing newsletter. It's Worldmologists, reprinted from LaPorte, Indiana, Herald Argus newspaper. Airplanes on all the air routes of the world flew a distance almost equivalent to 20,000 times around the globe during 1930. Statistics published here show the enormous growth of world air transportation during the past 10 years. In 1921, was 4,300,000 miles flown. In 1925, 12,540,000 miles. And in 1930, 70,500,000 miles. Wow. What interest folks had back early aviation. And we take it for granted today. Here are another couple of stories I would like to read. A Maryland farmer watched a big Eastern air transport plane speed across Logan Field and into the air. "Now I see how it's done," he declared. "They take a running start and jump off." P.S. This is a true story, the editor states. The greatest daily airplane mileage between any two cities in the United States is flown between Atlanta and New York, with three scheduled round trips, mail and passenger, each day, according to an article in the current issues of Collier's Weekly. The Washington-New York Airway ranks second with 11 round trips daily. The article lists the total daily mileage in the country at 120,000 miles. Now, an article appearing in the Jacksonville, Florida Times Union and reprinted in the Newswing reads, "A record for distance covered over regular lanes of air travel in elapsed time is claimed by Charles K. Topping, who passed through Jacksonville yesterday afternoon on the northbound Eastern Transport passenger plane en route to Los Angeles. Mr. Topping, a mining engineer from Chile, elected plane travel as being the most comfortable mode for covering the great distance. He spent last night in Atlanta and will arrive in California on Sunday, making the journey in 8 days and flying a total of nearly 8,000 miles. Stops each night have been made en route, since he has ridden only in transport planes operated on regular schedule by Pan American Airways, Eastern Air Transport, and continuing to Los Angeles on the Southern Transcontinental Route of American Airways system." Another one reads, "Flying the airmail for Eastern Air Transport between Richmond, Virginia, and Atlanta, pilot Frank Andre gave the first warning of a $50,000 fire which broke out last night in the auditorium building of Emory University, according to neighbors in the vicinity. Andre was flying toward Candler Field in Atlanta when he saw the blazes. He circled the field, or the fire, and attracting attention. They did that a lot during those days. The Postmaster General of the United States landed at Newark Airport in an Eastern Air Transport, accompanied by Thomas B. Doe, president of the company, with whom he discussed airmail rates during the trip from Washington. Contracts with air carriers were revised recently so that payment is made on the basis of miles flown instead of by weight, and the price of mail sent by air probably will be raised soon to the public. There has been a tremendous growth in air transportation in the last year, Mr. Brown said. The airline facilities will be taxed to capacity this spring and summer. People will fly more than ever before because they are beginning to appreciate the time it saves. While transatlantic airmail service does not appear likely this year, Mr. Brown was confident that mail would be flown across the ocean within 2 years. The department will re-advertise for rates between New York and Lisbon by way of Bermuda and the Azores. Mr. Brown favors Charleston, South Carolina, as the western terminal of the line, and mail would be flown there down the coast from New York City. Well, that is the reading for today. There's so much in the news wings of Eastern Air Transport. There's so much here that is history for the airlines that we love, and we'll be bringing stories from this from time to time and reading those of we feel that would be of interest to our listeners. So keep tuned in on Thursdays at 3 p.m., again, 3 p.m., when we reach into the Eastern files and pull out another story. And don't forget, on Mondays at 7 p.m., we will be broadcasting again, destination unknown at this point, but it should be an interesting radio show. So we'll always look forward to Monday nights when we can talk to our Eastern family and friends. They call in and we talk about whatever's on your mind. Perhaps Monday will be an open microphone day show, and we'd be happy to talk with you about whatever's on your mind. And don't forget, if you've got a story that you'd like to share from the Eastern files, we'd love to get that story, read it here on the Eastern files. Remember, you can send us stories by going to host@EALRadioshow.com. That's host@EALRadioshow.com. And if it's a voice in your own voice, make sure it's an MP3 file that you have recorded it on, and we'll be happy to have it played during our Thursday 3 p.m. shows. If it's something that we need to win, of course, you can send that by email, and we'll be happy to credit you, your name, and read it as well as we can. So thanks again for listening this Thursday, and we hope again see you next week, same time, same station, from the Eastern Files.
All my bags are packed, I'm ready to go. I'm standing here outside your door. I hate to wake you up to say goodbye, but the dawn is breaking, it's early morn. The taxi's waiting, he's blown his horn. Already I'm so lonesome I could die. So kiss me and smile. smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. There's so many times I've let you down. So many times I've played around. I tell you now, they don't mean a thing. Every place I go, I'll think of you. Every song I sing, I'll sing for you. When I come back, I'll bring your wedding ring. So kiss me and smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. The time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you. Then close your eyes and I'll be on my way. Dream about the days to come when I won't have to leave alone. About the times I won't have to stay. And smile for me. Tell me that you'll wait for me. Hold me like you'll never let me go. 'Cause I'm leaving on a jet plane. Don't know when I'll be back again. Oh, babe, I hate to go. Hate to go.
So long, Eastern family. We love you, Eastern.